Well, hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. We're going to be talking today about some specific things that a loved one or a friend can do to help somebody adjust from incarceration as they're trying to reintegrate, and things they can do to help that reintegration be a successful one. And so you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper and get ready to write some stuff down, and we'll be going over those things right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Like getting mail from y'all, and you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. And welcome back. We're going to be going over some ways to help your loved one or your friend adjust to life after prison. I got a lot of this information from personal experience, but I did find a place on the web, a really cool website, Prison Fellowship, and there are some things listed there as well. Some of these are listed there, and check out Prison Fellowship after you hear the things I have to say. Okay, let's get started. The first thing you have to do is you have to understand and try to put yourself in their shoes, which is extremely hard to do, I know, but, you know, try to understand the culture shock that's going on, because belief, in my mind, that they're just going to be able to automatically adjust is probably not a very good idea, thinking that. Depending on the length of the sentence that your loved one or friend has gone through, there's going to be a little bit of culture shock. And I want to tell you a story. On the day that I was getting out, which was in 2008, I was being released in the springtime. And there was a guy I was being released with that had done quite a bit of time. And I had done 8 years, and he had done somewhere in the neighborhood of about 30. But he was telling me that with just this enormous amount of excitement in his face, that he learned that there were Coke machines that took dollar bills. And he just thought that was... He thought that was so cool, something he had never heard of before. And so, you know, this is the kind of thing you need to watch out for, because people are going to, especially if they've done a lot of time, have some culture shock. The thing that I noticed the most when I got out were the different kinds of stores that were all over the place. When I went to prison, there seemed like there was an Eckerd Drugs on every corner. And when I came home, there were none. And I mean, you know, and that's not that big a deal, but I did notice it. I noticed that the style of cars had changed a little bit, too. So, you know, these are just little examples of culture shock, and you need to watch out for that. And, oh, you know, another thing that I noticed is people were eating chicken for breakfast. You know, I saw people eating a biscuit and chicken for breakfast. Who would have thought, you know? So anyway, there's going to be some culture shock, even if it was just in the neighborhood 5, 6, 7, 8 years, but especially if there were longer sentences. So you want to be aware of that, okay? Another thing is to, this is the second thing I'd like for you to jot down, is to be aware of a depression. It's very common after incarceration for people that are reintegrating to go through some depression, because readjusting to daily life and working towards finding a job, and especially with, you know, the big X on your back now, is going to be frustrating. And if there is no therapy as an option. There are other steps that you and your loved one can do to help improve their mental health process and their happiness as they're coming home. And so I thought I'd go over a couple of these things with you. Now, remember, I'm getting these, now these particular things I'm getting off of this website, Prison Fellowship, and they suggest these things. They suggest to set small goals, you know, maybe a goal a day, and to reward yourself when you meet those goals. Like a goal could be to take a long walk or enjoy a special meal. And those little small goals are helpful as small rungs on the ladder as you move toward reintegrating. And you have to remember that you're coming home to an environment where you have decisions and choices, even if you're on parole or even if you're on a monitor, and you didn't have those decisions and choices as you were incarcerated. Everything was structured for you, and your day was pretty much planned out, whether you liked it or not, and in the way it was planned out. So that, you know, working through these small goals, just something new, regardless of how small, it helps to build your confidence just to achieve little small goals. And another thing you could do, and you might want to jot this down, this is another thing that comes off the website we were talking about, is work with your loved one on their self-talk. And I think this is very important. If your loved one is prone to think, I can't get a job, I'm a failure, encourage them to be positive. What you say is, I haven't gotten a job yet. And if I keep applying to jobs, I'll eventually get one. Instead of saying, you know, no one's ever going to hire me, help people affirm themselves positively. And, you know, improvement is going to be slow in most cases. And sometimes it's even non-existent. And in those cases, you need to consider reaching out to a therapist or other professional for some help. So these are very important, setting goals and working on self-talk. And it's something that you can do to help a loved one as they're coming home. A third thing, and I'd like for you to jot this one down, once again, coming off the website, is you want to help people communicate frustration. Don't leave it boxed in. Frustration for both, you know, you as you go through this and your loved one, the formerly incarcerated, now ex-offender, they're going to face frustration as you are in the adjustment to living at home, troubles with things like invulnerability, employment search, the treatment that they're receiving in society, the culture shock that we mentioned earlier. You're going to face frustration with the changes that occurred during incarceration, and you may not even leave incarceration. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't say may. I would say you don't leave incarceration and come home the same person that you were when you left, because your experiences have, in a lot of cases, been heavy-duty mental trips that are, in a lot of situations, traumatic. It could be that just the process of living in the prison environment has changed you, but you are a different person when you come out, and your loved one, you, should be aware of that, and you should help the formerly incarcerated person that you're helping, you should help them to communicate the things that they're seeing that are different and the things that they're experiencing that are different and the frustration that comes from dealing with that. And sometimes, not all the time, but a lot of the time, I found just talking through some things like that would be very, very helpful to the formerly incarcerated. Okay, here's another big one. You want to jot this one down, too. You want to take care of that anger. A lot of people have a big problem with this when they come home. In prison, you have anger as a mechanism to keep you safe. And outside of prison, those kinds of, what do you call it, an attitude or behavior, it's just not culturally acceptable. So your loved one is going to need to find a way to control their anger and to channel it into something productive. When they feel angry, a good thing to do is to step, is to teach them or to tell them to step back and do some slow breathing for 10 seconds, then try to discuss and isolate the cause of the anger. And, you know, in addition, helping them to understand why it was they got angry and talking through that would be helpful as well. And if you see somebody kind of going off the rails with the anger and they can't really get a handle on it, once again, this is something that you might need to help them seek some professional help for. And, you know, check out that webpage I was talking to you about earlier. There's some good suggestions there as well. Okay, here's another one. I want you to jot this one down. Dealing with rejection. Rejection comes in many, many forms during your first months at home. Employers, friends, even some family, due to, you know, the stigma that is associated with the big red X on your back. And you'll need to help them, your loved one, the formerly incarcerated, you need to help them learn how to accept rejection and to move on and improve themselves. I think the main thing here is just to remind them that they're a human being that's not a failure. They made mistakes, they paid for those, and now the slate, although culturally and societally are not clean, but in your life they're clean because you get a second chance. They must keep working and stay focused and give themselves credit for the progress that they've made. One of the things that is progress in their life is they've survived this prison experience, and they, you know, you think about, I think about, you know, just what I endured in order to be able to have a second chance. And so that's something that maybe you could pass on to them as well. These are just my own personal thoughts. I'm not a doctor or even an astronaut, but I'm just saying that these are things that helped me. You should encourage them to focus on their ultimate desired outcome rather than their past failures. What good is it to dwell on the past other than to remember the trouble that it got you into? Dwelling on it does nothing for anyone. And then finally, the last one you might want to jot down is just combating addiction. A lot of times there are addiction issues related to crimes, and your loved one may have developed an addiction before the prison experience. I know of some people, not me, but some other people that have developed addictions in prison. And so when released, they're not going to be the same person you expected them to be. And addictions are incredibly difficult to work through without support. Your loved one is going to need your emotional support, love and care and guidance to help them. And many times they may need help from a therapist or a doctor to begin thinking clearly. And they need a research-backed path to beating their addiction. The 12 steps, we've done lots of shows on the 12 steps, and I think that they're excellent. Some people don't buy into them, but I think that if you take it seriously and work the steps, I think that it can very much help with addiction. And this is ultimately, it's the support that someone receives that will guide them through the process of healing. Okay, here were, these were just a few things that I came across that I thought I'd mention to you. They're things that loved ones can do to help people that are reintegrating. And, you know, once again, I'm very far from being an expert. They're just things that I've pulled off the internet and things that I've experienced myself. And I hope in some way they can help you as well. Listen, check out that webpage I was telling you about. It's Prison Fellowship, and they've got a lot of really cool stuff on there. So you might, after you listen to the podcast, just go to prisonfellowship.org, and I'm sure they'll appreciate the visit, and you can read the kinds of things that they have on that page to help your loved one as they look for answers to a successful reintegration. We're going to be back with more right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Remember, you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Hey, you got an idea for a show? Is there a comment or a suggestion you want to make about a show that we've already done? Is there something that you think is important to add to a topic we've already done? Do you know of a good guest that would work out well on the show? Just drop me a line, let me know, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Remember, it's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Show, be sure and check out that website, the Prison Fellowship website. It's a nice little resource that I've come across there. And if you don't already know about it, you do definitely want to check that out, okay? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey Hope. And remember that if God is for you, who can be against you? Next time, right here, Journey of Hope.